Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue to glean from Galatians chapter 2 and the account of Paul's trip to Jerusalem to consult with the leaders of the church there in regard to the message of the gospel that was preached by him and in regard to the authority that had been given to him as an apostle of Jesus Christ. The chapter opens with these words, "Then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run, or had run, in vain." And here we learn that, and the account goes on, I'm not going to continue to read it, I hope you've been with us on previous broadcasts, but we learn that there in Jerusalem, Paul submitted to the leaders of the church the gospel that he preached among the Gentiles. Titus was taken with him very deliberately because he was a Gentile, uncircumcised follower of Jesus Christ, and he became a test case, and he was not compelled to be circumcised by the leaders of the Jerusalem church, in spite of the fact that the Judaizers were preaching out among the Gentile Christians that circumcision was necessary. So these are very important issues. And we're not going to go through all the list of what happened again, but what I want us to learn from this is, number one, the biblical doctrine of mutual submission. Now, this can be tricky, because some people use it to cancel out other things that the Bible clearly teaches, and nothing in Scripture contradicts other things in Scripture. But we read, for example, in Ephesians 5, beginning at about verse 18, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," and then this in verse 21, "submitting to one another in the fear of God." Submitting to one another in the fear of God, the doctrine of mutual submission. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, I say this can be tricky because sometimes people will trot that verse out as if it cancels all the other verses. As if, for example, in the marriage relationship, nobody has authority over the other one. No one is considered to be the leader over the other one. This is an equal partnership. And here's the proof text. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. So it is the husband's responsibility to submit to his wife in exactly the same way and to exactly the same degree as it's the wife's responsibility to submit to her husband. I have actually heard this text used in that way. In fact, I'll never forget it. It was such a shock to me, and I suppose it's been over 30 years ago now, when I was sitting in a hospital waiting room and picked up a magazine, a religious magazine. I won't identify the source, but it was considered to be an evangelical Christian organization. And I flipped through it, and I found an article on marriage relationships, and this was the text. And the whole thing was about mutual submission, and there was nothing in the entire article about any responsibility for husbands to lead their wives and wives to submit to their husbands and so forth. Now, folks, that's not being honest with Scripture. I hope you understand that. What does this verse go on to say? Verse 21 says, "submitting to one another in the fear of God." Verse 22 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body," and so forth. The very next verse, What kind of Bible teaching, what kind of biblical exegesis would take one verse and ignore the next verse and use the one verse, the first verse, to cancel out what the next verse teaches? So whatever mutual submission means, it does not mean that there is no rank, there is no authority, there is no hierarchy in families, in churches, in society. The same sort of thing comes up in regard to church government. And I won't go into all the ins and outs here, but the idea that a church is governed by a plurality of elders of which there is absolute parity is, in my mind, of questionable veracity, questionable authority in Scripture. It seems to me that the Scripture indicates that among a plurality of elders, that there is someone who is generally looked at as the leader among the leaders. Not that you have a plurality of elders with no one as a recognized leader, but you have a plurality of elders with someone as a recognized leader. And though this particular text doesn't deal with that issue, I'd have to go other places to show you that, I think there is a parallel. There is a doctrine of mutual submission, as well as a doctrine of God-ordained hierarchy, God-ordained authority. You see it in the marriage relationship. But here's the point. What this doctrine of mutual submission shows us is that overbearing authority, dictatorial authority, is not what God has in mind, either in the marriage relationship or in the church eldership relationship, the church government relationship. Peter talked about that when he said to the elders, I say to you, I who am also an elder, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not as being lords over God's heritage. Now, some people cannot deal with any two things that could possibly be made to be contradictory. They just can't do it. It seems like their minds won't work that way. And so they will always use one to cancel out the other, rather than wrestling with the truth and trying to find the biblical blend. Surely you see a blend in that passage. Taking the oversight thereof. Pastors, elders, are supposed to take oversight. What is oversight? They're supposed to take oversight. If they don't, they are failing in the assignment that God gave to them. But they are to do it in a certain way. Not as being lords over God's heritage. You don't do it in a high-handed way, a dictatorial way, an overbearing way. You do it in a very gentle way, but nevertheless, you do take the oversight. Somebody takes oversight, and somebody is overseen. There is a division here, and there's a recognition here. And the same thing is true in the marriage relationship. Husbands are to use Peter's term, in context of the church and to import it into the marriage relationship, husbands are to take the oversight of the home, of the marriage. But that doesn't cancel out the requirement of mutual submission. If a husband can't submit himself to his wife in any way, then he is being a lord over God's heritage. He is carrying out his oversight function in a carnal way, in a dictatorial way, in an unloving way, in an insensitive way. There is this mutual submission. And you see this here, back to Galatians chapter 2, you see it here in the case of the Apostle Paul. See how willing he is, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to Jerusalem and to lay his message and ministry on the table, so to speak, for the examination of two other apostles and one man who isn't even an apostle. James, who is nevertheless the highest elder, at least he becomes the highest elder at some point in the Jerusalem church. Refer to Acts chapter 15 and study that chapter carefully, and you will see that that is so. But here are two other apostles and one elder. And Paul is an apostle. Now, the the inclination of many of us, the inclination of Adamic fallenness, of sinful carnality, would be to say, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, they're apostles of Jesus Christ, I have exactly the same authority they do, I am not about to submit my message and ministry for evaluation by these guys. I don't have to do that. I'm not going to do that. Why should I submit my ministry and message to men, two men who are equal to me, and one man who is inferior to me? Because the Spirit of Christ would lead us to do exactly that. Because the Bible teaching on mutual submission would lead us to do exactly that. Now, it's evident that, and this is hypothetical, but it's evident that if Paul had done this, and somehow Peter and John and James had said, your message is wrong, brother, you've got to change it, Paul would not automatically, therefore, have changed it. This mutual submission didn't mean that he was going to yield his ministry to men and abandon his higher responsibility to Christ. Christ had given him his message. Christ had given him his ministry. Now, I say hypothetically because actually, if Paul was right, that couldn't happen. If Paul had received his message from Christ and his authority from Christ as an apostle, and if Peter and John had received their message and authority from the same Christ, then they were going to all have to be the same, weren't they? They had to be. And if they weren't, somebody was mistaken, which is a pretty good reason for doing it exactly this way. But it does require a level of humility. I'm going to lay my message out, knowing that if I am correct, that this is the message that came from Christ, as I am convinced that it is, and if these men are apostles and received their message from Christ, it's going to have to be the same thing. I have enough confidence in the Lord and in His authority and His ministry that I'm willing to submit this because I'm confident it's going to turn out this way. Because if it doesn't, there is a serious problem, and we'll have to deal with that problem later. And then I'll have to work on what to do then, because then we'll be between a rock and a hard place, between whether I should serve God or man. And the men that I'm considering opposing are apostles of Jesus Christ, and we've got a serious problem here, right from the very beginning. Somebody's got to be wrong, and we'll deal with that problem when it arises, if it arises, but it didn't arise. But it took some humility on Paul's part to do this and to get this confirmation. It took his submission to a proper understanding of the doctrine of mutual submission. He was willing to do that for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the souls of men, for the health and well-being of the churches. He was willing to do something that required humility and graciousness, and he did it. He did it. And oh, that we would have more of that among all Christians. Oh, that we would have more of that among pastors and church officers. Oh, that we would have more of that among people who are leaders in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the proper spirit, the right attitude. And we need to learn from this and be reminded of a proper understanding of the biblical doctrine of mutual submission. Until Monday, may God give you His eternal peace.